Unfortunately, Gitenschir 45 was not recorded successfully. So here is a summary recording. The Gemara says in Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, Amar of Chisna, Yechilna lemifsalinhu lechule getid yalma. Rav Chisna can theoretically find a psal in all gittin. Amarli Rava, my timer. So Rav Chisna wonders, what was this svara for the theoretical psul of Rava wonders, what was the svara for the theoretical psul of Rav Chisna? If you say it's because of Vikasav and she is writing it, this is referring to the Mishnah in Basra Kufsamasayan Amid Bez and the Gemara Kufsamachesam and Aleph, which says that midoraisa, the husband has to pay for the writing of the get. He has to pay the schar of the sofer. Because of a nasan, it's the husband's responsibility to write a get. But midrabanan, they made a takana because of tikkun olam, because they were afraid that he might delay giving her the get because he didn't want to spend this money and she would be an aguna. Therefore, midrabanan, they said the woman should pay for the get. But once the woman pays for the get, then she's writing the get instead of him. And maybe it should be puzzle. So Rava says that is not a problem. Maybe the Rabbanan used their powers of Hefker Bezin Hefker and took the money away from the wife and gave it to the husband, and it's the husband paying the get. So that's not a problem. The Elamisham Nuchsev Nasan V'hacha Lo Yav Lamidi. Maybe it's because it says V'nasan, and here he's not giving her anything. Rashi and Tosos say, what does this mean? It means that he's not giving her anything worth a pruta. The stam get is a piece of paper with writing on it. It is not worth much money in the shuk. No, Dilma is seen as geti. Who says Vinasa means he has to enrich her, he has to add to her net worth and give her something worth money? Maybe it just means he has to give her a get, whether it's worth money or not. And that's absolutely true. Teda. Deshoch mitam, kasvul yisrael and akasha. They sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel that if you write a get an isra hanah and the husband gives it to his wife, it is kasher. Obviously, it's not worth anything. That shows Vinasan doesn't mean give something of value. It just means to give a get. Okay, so in the end, we don't have to worry. We can breathe easily. All getting in the world are not puzzle. Rabbanan took care of Vikasav by giving the money from the wife to the husband. And Vinasan's not a problem because it doesn't mean give something worth money. The question is, what did Rav Chisna mean when he said that if not for this takana drabanan, right, this is a takana drabanan, hefker bezin hefker, they took the money away from the wife and gave it to the husband. What if the wife had paid stam? There had been no takana, right? Stam, the wife decided to pay a certain bunch of people. They had a minhag that the wife paid. Then it would have been puzzle because it's a chisaron of vikasav. What actually is that chisaron of Vikasav? So the Pashup shot in the Gemara, and this is what it sounds like from Rashi, he doesn't say very much. He just sort of translates the Gemara, says she pays the sofer. And this is what the Nesiva says. The Nesiva, the Seven Kuf Tzadi Aleph on the Makor sheet, he argues on the Ktos. The Nesiva says, what's the problem? The problem here is literally exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara said what it meant, and meant what it said. Vikasav. Vikasav means the husband has to write the get. Vikasav laseva yam los zechem beinav. Vikasav laseva krisos v'nasav biyada. He has to write the get. That's what it says in the pasuk. Pashup shot in the pasuk is pashup shot in the Gemara. He has to write the get, and that means that if someone else writes it, the shliach of the baal has to write it. The sofer has to be the shliach of the baal. But since the wife pays him, the sofer is the shliach of the wife instead, and therefore she's writing her own get, and that is pasul. Until the rabbanan came and used their hefker bez and hefker powers to fix the situation. That is Pashup Shat in the Gemara. This is making an assumption. Many Rishonim disagree with this for the following reason. There is a famous Machlokes Rishonim that we'll get to, that Tosfos discussed in Afchav Beis, Amud Beis. What does the Pasuk mean when it says, V'chasav la sefer krisos v'nasan b'yada? What does Vikasav mean? So the simple shot of Shuter Shal Mikra, you'd think, is Vayam Losim Zechem Be'enav, the antecedent is the husband, V'chasav La, the husband writes for her, Sefer Krisos, V'nasav Yodah, and the husband gives it to her. And if the husband doesn't want to do it himself, of course, he can make a Shliach, Kishluch HaShlod and Kaboso. That is what the Pashup Shot of our Gemara assumes. However, Tosfos on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis thinks differently. This is a very fundamental machlokas. Tosfos says, no, v'kasav doesn't mean the husband writes. Maybe Tosfos is assuming that, okay, back in the time of the Chumash, no one knew how to write. That was exceedingly uncommon. Only Sofrim knew how to write. Therefore, the Torah obviously didn't mean the husband should write it. The Torah meant someone should write it. Tosfos says, v'kasav ha-sofer, not v'kasav ha-baal. Right, v'kasav mishu. Someone should write a sefer krisos, and the husband should, v'nasa b'yada, should give it to her. Give it to her. Why does Tosfos think so? Okay, because in the Mishnah there in Chaf Beis Amud Beis, it says a chayre shot of a katan can write a get. A chayre shot of a katan can't be a shliach, Tosfos asks. So, how can the chayre shot of a katan write a get if they're not the shliach of the Baal? The answer is, the Baal doesn't need to write a get. And the shliach of the Baal doesn't need to write a get. Just, someone needs to write a get, lishma. Why does the Baal need to tell the sofer to write a get? Tosfos asks. Right there in Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Tosfos says, "Delobein shlichas bechsiva, divechasav lava balkoi." It's not the baal who has to write. Ela sofer, someone has to write a sofer. V'adarmin lekamen sarach shiomer lesofer ksova leidim chasomu. Why does it say in Daf Ayin Amud Aleph Amud Beis in the Mishnah that you have to the baal has to tell the sofer to write and the edim to sign? La mishum shlichas. Not because he needs to make the sofer shliach. El mishum dikshol tziva baal lo chashav lishma. It's just because it's only the Shema if the Baal told the Sofer to write it. The Sofer has to know that the Baal really wants to divorce his wife in order to write it, Lishma. Okay, that's the sheet of Tosos. So, therefore, Pshat 1, the Pashat Pshat, the Nesivos, assumes that the Kasav means the Baal has to write it. Okay, that's the assumption. And then the Gemara reads very smoothly. However, Tosfos, who assumes the Baal doesn't have to write the get, he's going to have another pshat in our Gemara. What is Tosfos' other pshat in our Gemara? So Tosfos explains there, says, what about our Gemara? Clearly, pasha pshat in our Gemara is the Baal needs to write a get, and it's all about who's doing the Maisik Siva, pshat 1, Maisik Siva. He switched it to pshat 2, Bailus al hachefza. My time, ilay mishim dechsiva kasa v'hacha ika kasvalei. Hasam kasvalei, hasam aven nasan samech debeinan sheichta v'tivuya v'yiten v'hachafilu nechta v'tivuya lo yav la midei de shalahu. Tos says no, it's not really based on v'kasav. Really, the lashon is a little avdavkin. It's based on v'nasan. What the Gemara means is, if you say you need v'kasav and he needs to write it and he or she's writing it, meaning really, the Gemara means to say is, if you say he needs v'kasav and v'nasan, and he needs to give it, and here, since it belongs to her, yukakasva, he's not giving it. It's a chisaron in the nesina for it to belong to her. And therefore, it's really about nesina. That's pshatu tosos, bailas al hachefza mishum v'nasan, because you need v'nasan. Okay, that's obviously very dochuk in the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says v'kasav, and tosos is turning into v'nasan, but tosos has no choice, because he doesn't think you need Ksiva Sabal. Okay, we just have one other thing we have to explain. Let's go back to the Pashup Shot of the Gemara and the Nesivos, and the simple shot in the words, that it's about Fakasav, the Maisik Siva. So it's making an assumption. The assumption is you need the Baal to do the Maisik Siva, and that's why the Baal needs to pay. And okay, through Hefka Bez and Hefka, the Baal pays, and Rava took care of it. There's another problem the Pnei Yoshua brings up. And he says, hold on a second. In the Mishnah we mentioned, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, it says, Mefurash, and this has nothing to do with Rav or Chisda. This is a Mishnah. It's an uncontested Mishnah. Hariya get batal, ad sheyomer lesofer ksov le'edim chasom. The get is batal unless the husband tells the sofer to write it and tells the edim to sign it. Likewise, there's a brisa like this in Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Kasav sofer l'shma, even if the sofer wrote it l'shma, v'chasma edim l'shma, even if the edim signed it l'shma, they wrote it and signed it and gave it to the husband. He willingly agreed, said thank you for writing it. He thought it was a good idea and gave it to his wife. Hurry, get bottle. It is a total vadai, not a get. It is a 0% get. Unless the sofer hears the Baal's voice telling him to write and the Edom hear the Baal's voice telling them to sign. So what do we see? It's an uncontested halacha. There are details there. What if someone else heard the Baal's voice and then passed the message on? That's a sugya we're not getting into now. But it's an uncontested pashat din that the sofer can only write a get if the husband tells him to. Again, why? Either because you need ksivas a Baal, so we need to appoint him a shliach, Or because, according to Tosfos, to make it Lashma, so that he can write Lashma, and he'll really know the Baal serious about divorcing his wife. But let's get back to our pshat. Pshat number one, the Nesivos, the simple pshat in the Gemara, you need Vikasav, that's why the husband has to pay him. Who cares if the husband pays him or not? Who cares who pays, the Pnei Yoshua asks. Who cares who pays the bill? We care who appoints the sofer a shliach, who's memanah the sofer as a shliach. And obviously the husband memanah the sofer as a shliach, because due to the mission, dafayin aleph, the husband has to tell the sofer, ksov. So if the husband told the sofer to write it, who cares who pays? Why is it a chisaron if the woman pays? What's even the havami is that it's a chisaron of a kasav? Okay, that's the kasha on the Nesivos' pshat. I think you can answer this kasha, you could rescue the pasha pshat of our Gemara in one of two ways. One is what the Nesiva says. He makes a diuk from the Nimuka Yosef. The Nimuka Yosef, Baba Basra, is explaining why Midoraisa, the husband, pays. Now, the Nimuka Yosef himself might not be Meduyek, might not be discussing our issue at all. He's really discussing the Dinei Mamon Shaila of who owes the sofer the money. Not the Evan Ha'ezer Shaila of when they get his kosher, when it's not. In Baba Basra, they're not dealing with if they get his kosher or not. They're just dealing with who pays the bill. Okay, but nonetheless, then Mukha Yosef is in a context of who pays the bill. He's not really dealing with kashrus or pasulus of a get, but nonetheless, he has this formulation where he says, I'll read the quote from the Nesivos, Mishum shekasav rachmanu v'kasav, umashma shabal machtivo. It says v'kasav, and it's mashma, the baal is machtiv the get. Interesting, he doesn't say kosev, he says machtiv. What is machtiv? Machtiv means causes to be written. It is hifil, causative. So, says the Nesivos, here I'm perhaps adding a little in to the Nesivos. What does machta mean? Causes it to be written. Let's think about it. The husband tells the sofer ksov. But who causes it to be written? Who really is machtiv? Who causes the get to be written? Okay, the sofer, he's a nice guy. But he's not into it he's lashma perhaps, but he's not doing charity. The sofer has to make a living, he has to make a barnasa. It's a business for the sofer. Who causes the sofer to write, the get? Not whoever tells him ksov. Not whoever tells him anything. Right? Don't be naive. Whoever pays him the bucks. Whoever pays the salary. Whoever pays him is the one who causes the sofer to write. The sofer is not doing anything unless you pay him money. So maybe, says the Nesivos, quotes this Nimuka Yosef, maybe what the Nimuka Yosef means is this special gzeiras kasef by Gittin. Not that the husband needs to appoint the sofer shliach. That he's doing regardless of who pays. The money doesn't make a difference for that. The reason the money makes a difference is because it's not just regular shlichus. It's machtiv as I get. The husband has to be the one who causes, who is the responsible, primarily responsible party, who causes the get to be written. Why? Why is this not like the normal rules of shlichus? So perhaps those of us who learn Kiddushin remember, ki yikach ish isha, velo ki tikach, or ki tilakach, or etc. Right? The husband has to do the nesina, the husband has to do the amira. There is a principle when it comes to Kiddushin. The husband has to be active and the wife more passive. Here also in Gittin, clearly, it's Baal Karchav, the Isha, he's doing the Sina. He has to be active and she more passive. It could be even in the Ksiva. He needs to be the one who causes it to be written, not her. And therefore, even if he appointed the sofer by saying Ksov, if she's the one who paid, if it's her money, then she's the one who caused it to be written. Because it wouldn't have been written based on the husband saying Ksov, it's only written if and only if she pays the salary. And so that's 1.1. Right? What's the problem if the Chacham hadn't made their Hefker Bezen Hefker? The problem is the Maisek Siva. Even though the husband appointed the Sofer Shliach, the cause of the Maisek Siva, the Machtiv, has to be the husband, not the wife. And if it's the wife's money, she's the Machtiv. But once through Hefker Bezen Hefker, they made it the husband's money. Now the husband is the Machtiv. That's one pshat based on the Mukha Yosef. I thought you could say a different pshat, though, based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Yudam and Aleph. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Yudam and Aleph that Shlucha Shladin Kamoso has limited power. There's a limit to what Shlucha Shladin Kamoso can do. For example, the Gemara is discussing there of different examples of Tofes Labalchov B'makom Shechav La'acherim. I can't send a Shliach to help me gain money at the expense of someone else. For example, if someone's going bankrupt, in those days there's no bankruptcy court. Someone's going bankrupt and they have metaltalin, whoever grabs it first grabs it. The guy has limited funds. He has $1,000 of cash. He owes me $1,000 and someone else $1,000. According to the almost all Rishonim, I can't send a shliach to grab that $1,000 to make me win and the other guy lose money, because shlichas does not have the power to be chav la'achirim, to take away money that might belong to someone else, to cause a loss to others. However, the Gemara explains, that's a regular shliach, but a poel, a worker, shani poel di yado kiad balabayis, yad poel kiad balabayis, the hand of the worker is like the hand of the balabayis, meaning shluchos shalim kamoso. But he's like me, but there's something stronger than that. Yad polk yad balabais. A poel, if my employee can even be chav la'achirim, can even be tofis labal chav makim chav la'achirim, can even help me gain at someone else's expense and cause a loss to that other power, that other party. Because a poel is more powerful than a regular shliach. That's the principle of yad polk yad balabais. I thought maybe you could say, okay, the Pnei Yeshua, if you got a chance to look at it, deals with this and gets into more detail. But I thought maybe you could say that let's go back to the regular model of shlichus. The sofer needs to be a shliach of the man. If the man tells him write a get, even if the woman would also tell him to write a get, even if the next door neighbor and the greengrocer would also tell him to write a get, okay, he's the shliach of the man. But that's if he's not the poel of someone else, because the poel is more powerful than a shliach. And if you're the shliach of Reuven, but the poel of Shimon, then Shimon outweighs Reuven, and you're really only the shliach of Shimon. If the wife would pay him, he'd be the poel of the wife. Even if the husband appoints him a shliach, a regular meaner shliach cannot outweigh a yad polk yad balabayis, and he'd still be acting on behalf of the wife and not the husband. And therefore, that's 1.2. What's the problem of the kasav? What's lacking the maisik siva? If the rabbanim wouldn't have made their special hefker bez and hefker takana, so perhaps Yad Pol Kiyad Balabayis, the fact that he's a pole of the wife, would override him being a shliach of the husband, and then he'd be doing it on behalf of the wife, writing on behalf of the wife and not the husband, and that would be a chisaron of the kasav ha-baal. Okay, so that's one derech. One derech is it's about the maisik siva. You have to assume v'kasa means v'kasa v'baal, that the maisik siva has to be done by the baal. And then we asked, who cares who paid the money as long as the baal told him to write? So the answer is either the schiddush of machtiv, the baal needs to not only appoint him, but be primarily responsible, or based on yichiddush about yad polk yad balabayis, that he has to be the shlich of the husband, but he can't be the poel of the wife, because the poel of one person overrides being the shliach of another person. Okay, that is derech one, the nesivas, pashup shan in the gemara. However, Tosa says differently. Tosa says it's about who owns the get. Meaning, we obviously understand why the money is relevant. Why is the money relevant? Because the money buys things, right? You buy things for money. So what it really means by iu kakasva is that if she's paying, she owns the get. If he's, but then therefore they're abundant to use hefker bez and hefker to make him own the get. Is this a chiddush of Tosa? Is Tosa, it's very dachuk in the language of the Gemara. But in the substance of the Shita, in the Halacha, is Tosfos making a Chiddush or is Tosfos saying something Pashut? So the answer is, Tosfos is saying something Pashut. It's obvious that if he owns the get, it's kosher. And if she owns the get, it is totally Pasul. Why? From the Gemara on Daf Chaf Amid Bet. If we know a certain scroll or some surface belonged to her. Yado, and there's a get written on it, and he is now holding it. He wrote a get on it, and he's about to give it to her. Mahu, and he gives it to her. What's the din? Do we say that when she handed, obviously she must have handed it to him because it belonged to her, and now he's holding it and has a get and wants to give it back to her? Do we say she was makna to him as a full matana? Oh, and therefore it's his. And it's kosher, Odilma lo yadlik nuyo. Or maybe she doesn't know, she's not halakhically sophisticated. She doesn't know that she has to give it to him as a matana gemura. And maybe she just lent it to him to use to divorce her. And it's still her get. And if it's her get, it's pasul. Okay, they have a whole discussion. In the end, they decide that it's okay. And as Rashi and most mepharshim explain, yadlik nuyo, even if she doesn't have a multi-year yeshiva education, she knows that when she gives him this piece of paper, she is giving to him as a matana gemura, so then he can give it back to her as a get. But what's the obvious assumption of that gemara? This is not the ibaya. This is the assumption, the underlying assumption behind the gemara, is that the get has to belong to him and not her, as Rashi says. That if it's not his, and he gives her the get that belongs to her, it's possible because it's a lack of venasan. So Tosfos here is not making any halachic kedushin. It's a mefurish and afchafam and beis. Basically, there's one and a half sugyas. It's a mefurish and afchafam and beis, and according to Tosfos, that's also what's going on in afchafam and aleph. That if the get belongs to him, it's kosher, but if the get belongs to her, it is a puzzle. Why is this? Why does it make a difference if the get belongs to him or belongs to her? So here, there are two ways of explaining this. One way is that, right, 2.1, he needs to own the get. The get has to belong to him. Why would the get have to belong to him? So you could say, Stam, the get has to belong to him, it's just a din. Maybe we'll see different possibilities why the get has to belong to him. But the simplest shot is because it says, Vinasan. What does Vinasan mean? We know Vinasan does not mean he has to give her something worth a lot of money, even with a pruta. That's what the Gemara says. That's Vinasan, Nisina's get. But Nisina's get doesn't mean it has to be a financial gain, doesn't mean it has to enrich her, doesn't mean it has to change the balance sheet of her net worth. But Vinasan means a hakna, a financial transaction. He has to be makne her the get. That is what the Rav quotes from Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim Pia Shmua. I didn't find it in the Chibur of Rav Chaim on the Rambam or in the stencils of Rav Chaim on Shas. But it's well known, the Pia Shmua from Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim disagreed with certain ksos that we're about to quote. And held that Vinasan Biyada means he has to transfer ownership to her. He has to give it to her in a financial transaction as a matana gemura. In that case, it's obvious that it would have to belong to him. You can only give something to someone as a matana. You can only do venasan if something belongs to you. So that's one way of understanding why, within Tosfos' second derech, or just the Gemara, Daf Chaf and Beis, why it has to belong to him. It has to belong to him. It has to belong to him so that he can do vinasan, he can be makne it to her. However, the ktsos disagrees. The ktsos and Simon Reish, we'll have to get a chance to look into at a little greater depth. But what is the basic yesod of the ktsos, the very, very famous ktsos in Simon Reish, Sif Katan Hay? That v'nasan biyada is not referring to a financial transaction. Doesn't mean v'hikna la es haget. It means a physical nesina, not a financial nesina. A physical nesina, a maisa nesina. It just means he puts it in her hands. It's not a hakna. It is merely a maisa nesina bi'alma. That is the ktsos. Okay, and that's how the ktsos might read our Gemara. It says, what our Gemara says, Dilma nesinas get he, Reb Chaim would say it means Nesina hakna, but of a get, not of something worth money. The ktsos say, no, nesina's geti, it doesn't mean hakna at all. It just means a maisa, a physical maisa nesina of a get, placing a certain thing in her hands, having nothing to do with the realm of dini mamonos. According to the ktsos, however, then we have a problem. According to the ktsos, we need to explain what's the problem if the wife owns the get. What's the problem according to Tosos or Rav Chista? That she paid the sofer and she owns the get until the Rabbanan came and made their fancy takana. And what's the problem with Afchafan Beis if she would not give it to him as a matana gemura but only lend him the tavla? What's the problem of her owning the get, according to the ktsos? So you could say, as I mentioned earlier, that even the ktsos who says you don't need a hakna admits the husband needs to own the get, and there's just a tnai that the husband needs to own the get. Why would that be? Perhaps if the get is representing the das of the husband, right? The das of the husband is written, das mischayiv of the husband is written on the get. Therefore, in order to represent him, the get needs to be owned by him. Perhaps. Okay, but that is a bit of a chiddush. The simple pshat according to the ktsos doesn't deal with it explicitly. The simple pshat according to the ktsos is that the husband does not need to own the get. But if he doesn't need to own the get, then what's going on in these sugyas? So if you noticed, none of these sugyas said that the husband needs to own the get, right? It's not so pashut. In the Pesachei Tshuva, I apologize, I Xeroxed the Pesachei Tshuva on the Makoros sheet, but I didn't actually write it on the list of Makoros. So hopefully you noticed it there, and you wonder why I was there and looked at it. He quotes in the Bris Avraham, who's Medayik from the Kuntres, not Rashi. kuntras, meaning a little pamphlet, that the Beis Yosef quotes, that the get doesn't have to belong to the husband. It has to not be gezel. Fine. He couldn't have stolen from someone, but it could be hefker. L'chor, one would add, it could be someone else's who doesn't mind him using it, right? Who doesn't need it back. Who's mochel, right? I guess that's like hefker. Meaning it doesn't have to belong to him. Okay, that works great for the ktos. It doesn't have to belong to him. Bob, what's going on in this sugya? Yes, the answer is it doesn't have to belong to him. Here the Rav comes to the rescue. It doesn't have to belong to him, but it can't belong to her. There's no din that the get has to belong to the ish, but there's a psul if the get belongs to the isha. If it doesn't have to belong to him and all you need is a mice and a sina bi'alma, then what's so bad about it belonging to the isha? So here it's not so clear, but the Rav says, he doesn't say it 100% so clearly, but it's clearly what he's trying to get at. He says, the mice and a sina needs to be just a mice and a sina, but it needs to be a mice that demonstrates something. It had nothing to do with the realm of Dini Mamanos. Just needs to demonstrate the husband's commitment. Like when the husband gives the wife the get, he needs to do it in a way that shows that he's really seriously trying to accomplish a divorce here. As opposed to, I think what he would say is, let's say I held a gun to his head and he said, give this to your wife. Then, Mela, that's not an asina. Why? Because he gave it because I held a gun to his head. He didn't at all show whether he meant anything by it or not. Meaning, the mice and asina needs to be a mas and asina mashmauti. Needs to be significant. And if it's her get, he has to give it her anyway. Everyone, we're all from Yidden. Everyone has to give someone their own property. If I'm holding on to your property, of course I have to give it to you. That's pashut. I don't have a choice whether to give it to you. And therefore, says the Rav, even though he gave it to her of his own free will, right? The Rav's lashon is, af ma'isin asina midas v'lo machzut v'yeh, even though he gave it to her of his own free will decision, but nonetheless, kevin she'esh li shezuchos letubo es haget l'chein nesina zabal nikris nesina. His nesina is not called a nesina because he has to give it to her, even if he doesn't want to. She could demand the get. So even though he decided to give her the get as divorce, it's not significant. He's not demonstrating desire to divorce by giving it to her, because he has to give it to her whether he likes it or not. So there's a technical problem with her only the get, which is that his act of giving it to her is not demonstrative, because he doesn't really have the choice to decide whether to give it to her or not. But that's a technical problem. It's not that fundamentally he needs to own it because we're dealing with the realm of Mamanos. There's just a technical problem if she owns it. So those are 2.1 and 2.2, two different ways of understanding why the bailus is important to be Mekayim V'Nosan, either al piderach agrach, because V'Nosan is all about a financial transaction, and you need to own something to make a financial transaction with it, or al pi d'ktos, you could say, no, it has nothing to do with ownership, nothing to do with finances, nothing to do with dini mamonos. There's just a technical problem. If she owns the get, then he has to give it to her whether he likes it or not, and therefore his giving it to her is not demonstrative of his decision or his commitment to a certain decision. Okay, who's right? Does the husband need to own the get or not? The ktos or the grach? So that ties in, of course, to the next line in the Gemara. We just said, kasvu al yisrael na kasher, gufa, shalchu mitam. Right? They sent a message from Eretz kasvo, he wrote the get, al yisrael na kasher. Amar vashi af nam tani, we could prove it from the Mishnah. Allah ala shal zayis, the Mishnah says you can write it on an olive leaf. An olive leaf isn't worth anything, and yet it's kasher. So to yisrael hanar, worth anything, yet it's and it's kasher. Nor is doche. Dil mashani ala shal zayis, the chazil tzerufe. No, maybe an olive leaf is different because chazil is terufe. You can add it together with a lot of other olive leaves, and it will be worth a pruta. Meaning, it's not worth a pruta; it's worth something. It's worth a fraction of a pruta. That's not a valid proof. Yisrael hanoah, which is worth, is zero. So, what's the din? Tanya, Rebbe Omer Kasval Yisrael hanoah kasher. Rebbe says in a brisa, it's kasher on Yisrael hanoah. Nafag Levi Darshan Mishmei de Rebbe Bloke Elsua. Levi went out and darshan in the name of Rebbe. They didn't praise him. Mishmei de Rebbe Kolsua. He darshan it stam, like as if everyone said it, and they praised him. Alma Hilchsa Kavase. Must be the halacha is like Rebbe that. That's the clear halacha. Okay, what does this have to do with praising? Rashi and Tosfos argue. Either because Levi wanted to get praised for saying it, that proved that Levi knew Alpi Masorah that that was the halacha, or who praised him? Not the Amaratzim, the other Rabbanim. Since the Rabbanim praised him for saying it in a way that it would be the Rabbim, that proves that it's the halacha. Okay, that's the halacha. Kasvul Yisrael na kasher. Hold on a second. What happened to the fact that Yisrael HaNa isn't worth anything? So here you have a Shitas Yachid of the Or Zeruah quoting the Rav Yah. Really, Shitas Yachid, who says it's not worth anything? It is worth something. He asks, how is a Surah Hana'a better than just giving it to her and saying you want to keep the paper, giving her nothing? So he says, Shalach Mori Benu Simcha Lamori Benu Aviyah Ezri, the Rav Yah. And the answer is, it's very different. You are giving her something. Why? Because Chazi Litz Derufei. Afa gav the hamish mi alo shavu, even though the Yisrael is not with shavu pruta, hachanami ika lefluge de Yisrael noik in esina. Yisrael no, there is something. It is worth something. Just like an olive leaf is worth something, and Yisrael no is worth something. Di yachlo lechano liyam amelach. There are some cases, without getting into the big machlokas, where you can benefit. You can benefit from Yisrael hana. You'll just offset the hana you gain by throwing that amount of money into the ocean or into the yam amelach. Right. So it is useful to you. Or v'yishem motzer rebittel or barov. Some things you can be mivatel, then they'll be motzer hana. Or if you mix them in with the rov, they'll be motzer hana. V'ika nesina, meaning what he's saying is that an isra'na is worth something. I don't know how to put a monetary value, how to quantify it, but isra'na is worth something. There are ways you could benefit from isra'na. It's a little far out, and you have to see all of these are not so clear they work. It's all told of machlokes, and even if they do work, maybe that really doesn't count because fundamentally it's something you're not supposed to be nana from. But he says it really is worth something. Okay, so he reads the maskan as a sarana are worth something. They're totally valuable items, just like olive leaves. That is a shitas yachid. Everyone else assumes a sarana are not worth anything. But, okay, they don't have to be worth anything. The sinas get. The fact that it's not worth anything doesn't necessarily bother us. But we want to know, does he own the Isuri Hana'a? Is there bailus on Isuri Hana'a? So this is a very, very famous machlokes all over Shas, many places in Shas. One place that comes up is Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph to Daf Lamed Hey by Lochem. Lulav and Esrog of Isuri Hana'a. Is it considered Lochem or not? So many Rishonim discuss this. Most of them discuss it. Not in terms of bailus on Yisrael Hana'a, but in terms of Lachem. Exactly what does Lachem mean? Lachem means it needs to be useful to you. Lachem means, you know, what does Lachem mean? But in the Ritva, it seems pretty clear that he's discussing, no, do you own Yisrael Hana'a or do you not? He's not discussing specifically what does the word Lachem mean, the specific, local, unique requirements of Lulav and Esrog. No, he's discussing who owns Yisrael Hana'a. And he quotes the Raivid, Nakar Raivid, Zal Dvarin Kipshatan. The chayim and the lesbu heter chil v'din mamon v'havel yisur anah lo karina be'lachem yisur anah are not lachem the lesbu midi because you don't own anything uman de gazel aminei lo avi gazel whoever steals from you is not a gazel. I mean, you don't really own it. Someone could allow to steal it from you. I mean, it's not stealing. So anyone could take it because you don't own it, right? So he thinks there's really no bailus on yisur anah. Who agrees with him? The Rashba, the Shut Rashba says. Also discussing a case of someone who's mudar hanah from a lulav. He was personally, the lulav wasn't asr b'hanah to everyone, but it was asr b'hanah to him. And if someone gives it to him, he says, lo yatsa, why? And he says, asr v'einu konoi klal l'shom davar. It is asr because it's not konoi klal l'shom davar. It's not owned by him at all for any purpose. Right? He doesn't own it at all. V'im kiddush b'asa ishenim kudeshes. And if he's mekadesh a woman with it, it doesn't work. Now, the woman can taka b'nenet from it. She's not mudar hanah. It's worth a lot of money to her. So why is she not Mekudeshes? Because he gave her something that's worth a lot of money, but he didn't give it because it wasn't his. Right? So the Rashba and the Raivit think there's no bailus on Yisrael Hana'a. Not everyone agrees, though. The Ritva thinks differently, says the Ritva. V'lo Nehira, he quotes the Raivit, disagrees. And what does he say? D'chol shu shalo be'ein bo l'achir m'shos z'chos l'chem karina be'i. It is called l'chem, it's yours, and no one else has any m'shos in it. Meaning no one else can take it. It's yours. What can you do with it? Okay. We can't think of anything you could do with it. You know what? You might own things that are useless and you can't do anything with. All right, they're still yours. Just because they're useless and you can't do anything with them doesn't mean that they're not yours. What can you do? You can tell other people not to take them. You can just let them sit there. You can decide their fate. You can decide whether to burn them or whether to let them sit there or, you know, whether to let other people take them or not. You can't do anything useful with it, but you still control it. You still have bailus. So the Ritva thinks there is bailus in Yisrael Hana'a. And likewise, the Ran in the Darim and Daf Mem Zayin, he quotes the Mishnah there is talking about also, Mudar Hana'a, someone who, let me open a Darim, someone is Mudar Hana'a from, let's say, his father's property. So it says, Lo Yerushenu, he doesn't inherit it. What does the Ran say there? It says he doesn't inherit it because him. It doesn't mean literally he doesn't own them. No, that's ridiculous. It says he can give it to other people. Etc. They for sure belong to him. It just means he can't use them. That's what it means. It means he can't use them. So says the Ran. The Ran agrees with the Ritva. Of course you own Nisuri Hana. They're not useful to you. You can't do anything with them. They're worthless to you. But you still own them. So the Rashba there, by the way, I put in brackets, is Lashitasi in the Shud. He disagrees with the Ran. He says, no, you really don't own them. What does it mean? You can give them to the brothers? It doesn't mean you give them to the brothers. It means the father gave them to the brothers before he died, but you can't give them to anyone. The Rashba works well with himself, Lishitase, that you don't own them. Okay, so the Rashba and the Ravid hold there's no bailus by Yisuri Hanah, but the Ritva and the Ran hold there is bailus in Yisuri Hanah. So for the Ktsos, it's all great. Whether or not there's bailus in Yisuri Hanah, all the Shitas are fine for the Ktsos. Maybe there's no bailus in Yisuri Hanah. Who cares? He reads the Gemara's Dilma Nesina's Gethi, meaning all you need is a physical Maisa Nesina. Well, and make sure there's no technical problem that it's already hers. So for the Ktsos, it's great. Yeah, Kusval Yisuri Hanah. Kusher, it has nothing to do with bailus. For Reb Chaim, however, we're a little bit in trouble. If you need bailus by Yisuri Hanah, then how does it work? If you need bailus by get, if the get needs to belong to the husband, then how do we explain Yisuri Hanah? So, l'chori, you have two choices of how to defend Reb Chaim against Yisuri Hanah. One approach, we're already guessing. He'll just say, I hold like the Ritva and the Ran against the Ravid and the Rashba. What's the big deal? He's like, I hold there is bailus in Yisuri Hanah. Okay, if there is bailus in Yisuri Hanah, then it's the husband's. That's no problem. He's allowed to hold like the Ritva and the Ran against the Rashba and the Ravid. However, here you get into a little trouble because of the Ktsos in Siman Tafvav, which is really what the Rav is struggling with, is footnote 111, where he's trying to defend Reb Chaim. Says the Ktsos in Siman Tafvav, it's a big Yisod. The Ktsos says, where do the Rashba and the Ravid get their idea that there are no bailus in Yisuri Hanah? We're in Shas. Mefurish in Shas, where the Rashba and the Ravid get this idea there's no bailus in Yisuri Hanah. L'chor of the Gemara, Psachim, Daf, Vav, Amid Beis. What does it say? There, Shnei Dvarim Einem Bershusha Shal Adam, Vasana Kasav, Ki'ilo Einem Bershusha. Two things don't belong to someone. But nonetheless, the Torah is machber and punished him and machayev him as if he did own them. One is Bor B'shus Harabim. If I dig a bore in the street, I obviously don't own it to the street, but I'm called Baal Habor, Le'inyan, Baal Habor Yishalim, right? That I'm still called the Bailim to have to pay. Second is Chametz on Pesach, or even on Erev Pesach, the afternoon, Mishay Shas L'mala. It's not mine, because it's also Ranah, Einu Bershuso. But nonetheless, the Torah is Mechayiv Mi Bar Yirah Baal Yimatzei. It's as if it's mine, Le'inyan, to be Chayiv Malkus for Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzei, or to be Chayiv for Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzei. So the Pashup Shad of the Gemara is that I don't own Chametz because it is Asarana. Okay, that's the idea it could come from. Says the Ktsos. He says that even the Ritva and the Ran, Ktsos and Siman Tafvav says, not our Ktsos, Ktsos and Siman Tafvav, the one in brackets, he says, even according to the Ritva and the Ran, that you own Yisuri Hanah, you own them, but it's still called Eino Bershuso. What does Eino Bershuso mean? So he points to the Gemara in the seventh parak of Bava Kama, okay, a few places, and Daf Samach Vav, and Samach Zayin, and Samach Tes, that just because you own something doesn't mean you can make it hektish or hefker. Doesn't mean you can make a transaction with it. Doesn't mean you can transfer ownership of it to Hefker or to Hekdish, or pretty clearly in the Gemara there, that you can be machnet. Doesn't mean you can give it as a matana or a kinyan or Hefker or Hekdish. What's the example in Bava Kama? If someone steals my cow and I was not mityaish, no one can be machters the cow. The thief can't be machters the cow because it doesn't belong to him. That's obvious. I can't be machters the cow even though it belongs to me, but it's not bershusi. It's not under my control. If it's not under my control, then I can't be machtish it. Here we have a precedent for, I could, even if you own something, if it's not in your control, you still can't transfer the bailus of that thing. You can't make a transfer with it. That's the principle of Eino Bershuso. The Ktsos reads this into the Gemara Pesachim. Shnei Devarim Eino Bershuso Shel Adam. Maybe it's Shelo, but it's not Bershuso. Yisuri Hanah, even the Firit from the Ran, that they are Shelo, are not Bershuso. You can't transfer them. There are two proofs. Number one, you can't do Bittel Chametz, which might be Hefker. Im Sachem Dav Vav to Dav Zayin. And number two, Baba Kama Dav Mim Dalad Dav Mim Hein. The Mishnah says, Shor Niskel after Gemar Din, when it is now Osir Ba'anah, Machra Weinu Machr, Hikdisho Eino Mukdash. You can't sell it and you can't be Makdish it. So what do we see? It's Mefurish in the Gemara. You can't be Makdish, you can't be Mocher, you can't be Mafker, and Isra Hanah. So says the Ktsos and Simit Dav Vav, even if you own Isra Hanah, which the Ktsos happens to agree with. He quotes a Rid Vashu, sounds that way, like the Rit from the Ran. Yeah, the Rid Vashu, the Talmud of the Ran. Even if you can own Isra Hanah, you can't transfer Bailus. You can't be mocked to them. Now the Grach is in trouble. Reb Chaim's in trouble here. Reb Chaim says, V'nosan b'yada means you have to be mocked to get to her. But hold on a second. Even if you can own Isra Hanah, you can't be Makne Isra Hanah. So how can a get be valid on Isra Hanah according to the Reb Chaim, according to the Grach? So here the Rav, in footnote 111 in the Shiurim, comes to the rescue. The footnote is the Rav himself. It's just what they quoted from the Rav elsewhere, not when he gave the Shiur that was mainly published in this Sefer. Says the Rav, that Reb Chaim will have to not only pass like the Rit from the Ran against the Rashba and the Ravid, he'll have to disagree with the Ktsos in Simen Tav Vav. And he'll have to say, not only is there Bailus B'Yisurei Hanah, but there even Hakna in Yisurei Hanah. You can even be Makna Yisurei Hanah. There are two proofs from two Gemaras that you can't be Makna Yisurei Hanah. So, no problem, he could deny those. How could he deny those? Number one, as far as Chametz is not a valid proof. Many Achronim pointed out that you can't necessarily prove other Isur Hanah from Chametz. It's not true you can prove all Isur Hanah from Chametz. Chametz might be different. Why? For the simple reason. All Isur Hanah you can't benefit from, but you still have control over. You can still do whatever you want with them as long as it's not benefit. I can burn them, or I cannot burn them. I can put them here, or I can put them there. I can store them, or I cannot store them. I can let you have them, even though you can't do anything with them, or I cannot let you have them. But chametz on Pesach is very different. Chametz on Pesach, every second I let it exist, I violate a law. I have to burn it immediately. Chametz on Pesach, I have no control and no rights over. Only Isur Hanah, I have the rights to do whatever I want as long as I'm not nana. In chametz, I can't do anything because I have to burn it right this second. I have to burn it as soon as possible. So therefore, it could be that chametz is not Bershuso or not even Bailus, not Shelo. But that doesn't prove anything about other Isur Hanah, so therefore, Reb Chaim can get out of the proof from Pesachim. How about the proof from Shor Niskel? Shor Niskel is a regular Isur Hanah. There's no lav if the guy keeps his Shor Niskel around and walks it here and walks it there and, you know, whatever he wants to do with it, as long as he's not nana. So, what about that proof? So the Rav says, no, he can rely on Rabbeinu Tam and Tosus there. Rabbeinu Tam gives a very dochak reinterpretation of the Mishnah. But Rabbeinu Tam already said it. He said it for a different reason, because he has a unique shita that a Shor Niskel after Gemar Din is actually Mutter Bana. So he has to reinterpret the Mishnah. So he says, no, it doesn't mean Machra in a Machra, you can't sell it. It means you can sell it, but it still gets stoned, and the buyer can't keep it. It doesn't mean Kdisho in a Mukdash, you can't be Makdash. It means you can Makdash it, but it still gets stoned, and Hekdash can't keep it. So therefore, the Rav said, the Rav Chaim will just interpret that Mishnah like Rabbeinu Tam. I know it's Dachuk, but Rabbeinu Tam already said it. So there's precedent. And he'll say, of course you can sell and transfer and give Isurei Hanah as a gift. Of course you can do a Nasab Yada financial Haknah transaction with Isurei Hanah. The only thing, just in Baba Kama, it meant that when it's Mutar B'Hanah, you can sell it and Makdash it, and it won't get stoned. But once it's Asur B'Hanah, you could sell it or Makdash it, but it's too late, and it won't last long in the hands of the buyer or Hekdash, because it'll get stoned. But it's still sold. Just means it'll get stoned right away. And in Pesachim, that's not a riot. Anything because Chametz is more Chomer than all other Isurei Hanah. Okay, so that's one way to justify Isurei Hanah lefi the Grach. How did the Grach get out of the disproof from Isurei Hanah? He has to make two assumptions. A, there's Bailus in Isurei Hanah, like the Rit from the Ran. And B, there's even transfer and hakna of isurei hanah. You can even be mocher and no same isurei hanah against the ksos and simon tofav. Then he has to get out of the two gemaras that seem to imply otherwise. That's all one derech. There's a second, even more radical derech that Rechayim could say to get out of isurei hanah, which is based on the Rishalmi, right? Does the Rishalmi know this din of shalchem itam kasvul isurei hanah kasher? Of course they do. Shalchem itam means they sent from Eretz Yisrael, from the Rishalmi, right? The Rishalmi sent the Bavli a message saying, Kasvul Yisrael and Akasher. However, the Rishalmi limits this. The Rishalmi says, really, Kasvul Yisrael and Akasher is puzzle. What does it mean, Kasvul Yisrael and Akasher is kasher? That only means Yisrael and Akasher. If you write it on Yisrael and Akasher, it's batal mevatal. Only if you write Yisrael and Akasher, then it's kasher. Okay, there's a big mitzvah about Torah in the Achronim. If the Rabbanan make a certain chalos on something, does that change the implications for chaluyos to oraisa? We're not getting into that whole thing now. And then back to the Yushalmi's dafka, if you look inside, it's mechalik between different dinim d'oraisa. Maybe when it comes to fundamental dinim d'oraisa, the Rabbanans don't change it. When it comes to dinim of shovi, shavios d'oraisa, the Rabbanans do change them. Okay, but that's not our topic. Now, what is the Yushalmi saying? Kasval Yisrael na d'Rabbanan is kasher. Why? Because really, it's Matarana. Oh, the Rabbanan were Machmer. Yeah, but the Rabbanan didn't want their din to affect the Hilchas Gittin, which is a Doraisa area of Halacha. But if you write in a real Isra'na Doraisa, then Taka, the get is possible. It's Batal Mavatal. Okay, that's only Rishalmi. Why do we care? We're Babylonian Jews, not Palestinian Jews. Because the Shut Rashba, the one in brackets, Simon Tov Reish Gimel, says that maybe the Bavli agrees with the Rishalmi. Maybe this whole Bavli is only talking about Yisurim Drabbanan. Yeah, Yisurim Drabbanan, they're not worth a lot. And that's why they're not worth anything. That's why we're discussing them. But fundamentally, they're Mutar Banah. Fundamentally, they are objects which you can do things with. Just, you can't sell them for a lot of money in the shuk, right? So they're worth less than an Olo Shel Zayis in the shuk. But fundamentally, they're really Mutar Banah. Of course you can do Kinyanim with them. Midor Raisa, of course you can do Kinyanim with them. And now the Rashba, Halach L'maisa, is a little Masupak. He wants the Paskin. He says, I think the Bavli agrees with the Rishalmi. I Paskin like the Rishalmi, nearly like the Rishalmi. Then he says, and even if not, I have other Svaras, and, you know, and Halach L'maisa, he's not willing to be Makel and Biggie Surim, you know, because of this. But if you ask him his opinion is he holds like the Rishalmi. Then that works fine for Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, you need Hakna'ah, so how is Kasval Surah not Kasher? Kasval Surinah is really possible according to the Rashba and the Yushalmi. Here we're only dealing with Surinah Drabbanim because we ignore the Din Drabbanim when we're looking at the Hilchas Gittin implications. Whether or not a get is kosher depends on the Doraisa status, not on the Drabbanim status of the object. And it actually works out nicely because the first way we defended the Grach was based on the Ritva and the Ran against the Rashba. Oh, can we defend the Grach according to the Rashba? Yes, based on this other Rashba who says that we really paskin like the Rishalmi. Okay, so we Surah Hanah then seem to be a good raya for the Ktos, because according to many Rishonim, no one owns Yisurei Hanah, and the Ktos says all Rishonim agree. It's a davar pashat, according to the Ktos and Siman Tav Vav, that you can't be makna Yisurei Hanah. That works fine for the Ktos himself. It works out fine. He's good l'shitase, even though you may or may not own them, and you certainly can't be nosing them as a hakna'a mamunit. Nonetheless, kasval Yisurei Hanah kasher, because all you need is a physical mice and a sina, and avoid the technical problem of the wife's ownership. However, according to Rav Chayin, the Evanasim B'yada means he has to be no sin laws, a matana gemura, a knah, and dini mamonos. How do you explain Yisurei Hanah? Okay, so we had two answers. Either A, like the Ritva and the Ran, there's bailus in Yisurei Hanah, and B, against the ksos and siman tavav, there's even transfers and haknos and akdoshos and hefker and sina of Yisurei Hanah, or B, like the Shut Rashba, who paskin like the Rishalmi, that the real halacha is kasval Yisurei Hanah is batal, is pasul. Our Gemara is only dealing with Yisurei Hanah drabbanon, which are fundamentally mutar Hanah. Okay, that's all to within Tosos. This is all trying to explain Tosos, the second derech of explaining Rav Chista, going back to what Rav Chista's problem was, potentially Vekasav. What was that potential problem of Vekasav? Remember, Pshat 1, the Nesivas, the Pashup Shot was, who's doing the Maisik Siva? Pshat 2, Tosos, who owns it in order to be Mekayim V'Nosan? Who owns it for the purpose of Nesina? Which we pointed out was Dachuk and Lashon Gemara, because the Gemara said Vekasav. So perhaps there's a third possibility. Perhaps you could say it's about ownership, which again, what the So said in Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph that the Nesivos are disagreeing with. The Ramban is pretty clear that it's about, it's pretty clear it's about ownership. The Ran also sounds like it's about ownership. But the question is ownership when? So Tosa says ownership for the purpose of Nesina. The Ramban is also pretty clear, if you read the Ramban, that it's ownership at the time of Nesina. But there's another possibility. Maybe it's about who owns it. It's about the Bailus B'shas K'siva. Okay, that would make the word V'kasav work a lot better. Maybe the point is V'kasav, that even B'shas K'siva the Baal needs to own it. And that's what our Gemara is saying. If the woman pays, then the woman owns it B'shas K'siva. Even if someone gives it to the man as a matana later, it's too bad. The woman owns it too late. The woman owns B'shas K'siva. Their abundant use their Hefker beds and Hefker superpowers to transfer the money to the Baal so that he would own it B'shas K'siva. Is this really true? Do you need Bailus B'shas K'siva? Whoever, they're not doing Vinasan, right? Whoever heard that we care who owns a B'shas K'siva? Maybe we do, maybe we don't care who owns a B'shas Nesina. At least we care someone who owns a B'shas Nesina. But do we care who owns a B'shas K'siva? So maybe yes. We know our minhag is, if anyone's ever been at a get, one of the first things they do, and this is found in all the Sidrei HaGet, when they write instructions for how to give a get, the Rishon Ashkenaz all wrote it. The Ramban and the Ritva and the Ran here disagreed. They say that's a ridiculous thing to do. They made fun of people who are so machmir. But in the end, they all sort of agreed, okay, you can't hurt, you know, if you want to, fine. And Lamaisa, nowadays, that's everyone's minhag. That, before he writes the get, the sofer gives the klaf and the dyo, and even the quill, the kolmos, as a gift, as a matana gemura, with a kinyan, Maisa kinyan. He puts it in the hands of the Baal. And the husband lifts it up and is konet. Right? Where do we find this? We find this in the Tosos Rid in Dafka Falaf from an Aleph. Then he says, Tzarech HaSofer Lahaknos Anir Ve'adyovi Akomos Labal Kadeshi Akol Shalo. Everything has to belong to the husband. We find that in all the Rishonim Ashkenaz, the Rush, the line here I quote, HaSofer Yitei Klaf Adyo, the Beis Yosef quotes in the Sefer Truma and the Smag and the Agos Maimonios and the Mordechai. Why does the sofer have to give bailus to the husband, make a kinyan, give it to the husband, before he writes it? So here there are two approaches. The Beit Yosef quotes, if you look inside, the Smag and the Agos Mordechai and the Mordechai are all very clear that it's not really necessary. We don't really care who owns a B'shas K'siva. It's just we're afraid that he might, that we really just need the husband to own a B'shas Nesina. We really only need the husband to own a B'shas Nesina. But we're afraid that he might forget to give it to the husband before Shas Nesina. Meaning, even if he puts it in the husband's hand, he might forget to say, I'm giving it to you as a Matana Gemura. And the husband will forget to think or will never be informed that he has to receive it as a Matana Gemura. Right? So you could still have a Shash. So therefore, really, the husband only needs to own a B'shas Nesina. However, just to be on the safe side, to not wait for the last minute when you might forget, the sofer gives it all to the husband before the ksiva, so that it'll be his in advance, and you won't have to remember to give it to him before the nesina. Okay, so according to that approach, basically one approach to our minhag is that the sofer makes a kinyan and gives the husband the materials before he writes. One approach to our minhag, that of the smag, Hagos, Maimonides, and Mordechai, is that he really only has to give it to the husband before nesina. But he gives it to him before the ksiva just to be on the safe side in case he forgets later. Right? That way he'll have like two chances. If he remembers before ksiva, fine. If not, he'll remember before nesina. However, that's one approach. But the Rush sounds different. And the Sefer Truma as well, if you look it up, sounds different. What does the Rush sound like? The Rush says, HaSofer Yitan HaKlaf VeAdyo B'matana LeBaal DeBe'inan V'Kosa V'Nasan SheYaget Shalo. You need v'kasa v'nasan that the get should belong to him. Notice, he throws in v'kasa v'nasan. He doesn't say, so you have v'nasan sheget shalo, and you won't have to, yeah, and you might forget at the last minute. He says, v'kasa v'nasan sheget shalo. The Sefer Truma says similar formulation. So therefore, what does that show? That maybe midoraisa, v'kasa v'nasan sheget shalo, that's the diuk from the Rush that the Beis Yosef makes, midoraisa, the husband needs to own it, b'shas k'siva. Okay, then it makes a lot of sense. Then our Gemara would read much better. It's talking about Bailus, but not Bailus B'shas Nesina, Bailus B'shas K'siva. V'kasav V'nasan means, and a matter of fact, in Baba Basra it says V'kasav V'nasan, not just V'kasav. V'kasa v'nasan means that the husband has to own a b'shas k'siva, but if the wife pays, then the wife owns everything. She bought everything b'shas k'siva. So therefore, they hefker bez and hefker transfer it to the husband to make him own it b'shas k'siva. And that's what it means. You need v'kasav, and here, she's owning it b'shas k'siva, and he has to own it b'shas k'siva. Okay, that's a third very midrash shot in our Gemara. The question is just, what's the svara? Why do we care? Why do we care from the Torah? Who owns it b'shas k'siva? Meaning, not so that you, in case you forget later. If fundamentally, like the Rush, fundamentally the husband needs to own a b'shas k'siva, why is that? Why do we care who owns a b'shas k'siva? That is a little, as far as a little unclear. The Beis Yosef says, what's the svara? He says, k'derech b'ni adam shekosim davrshu shalahem. Ah, it says v'kasav, and normally people write with their own materials. So therefore, the husband has to write, or the sofer has to write with the husband's own materials. Okay, that's a bit of a chiddush. Who says people always write with their own materials? Well, not so pashut. A lot of times people work in offices and write with other people's materials. Who else says, v'gam lo shayv nesina lo b'davar shu shalo. Okay, for nesina needs to be shalo. Maybe that's explaining why nesina needs to be shalo. It sounds a little like the Reb Chaim. But the Me'iri says, a second shot. Says the Me'iri, I don't understand so well the Me'iri's second shot. He says, the kasa v'nasan, you have to write using things you could be nosing. You have to write using things you could give away. Therefore, you have to write using things that you own, and therefore it has to belong to the husband. Okay, both the Rush and the Me'iri have the advantage. They can explain the shita that you even have to hand over the kolmos. Most of the Rishonim was said you even have to, the husband has to own even the quill. Says, oh, but not for any good reason. We just sort of throw it in, like, to make him own everything, to make it simpler. If you would hold there's a real logic why the husband has to own the quill, then it would be, okay, v'kasav, a person writes with his own quill. Or v'kasav and nasan, you have to write with something you could give away. So therefore, the husband has to own the quill. That's definitely a possibility. It's definitely possible that v'kasav means the husband has to write with his own materials. Of course, that is assuming the husband has to be the one writing it, in which case, then you could might as well just go back to Pshat 1, to the Pasuk Pshat, to the Nesivos, and you wouldn't necessarily need to say that our Gemara is about Bailus Pshat Ksiva, and our Gemara wouldn't be a mucker for Bailus Pshat Ksiva, but that's one possibility. However, I think the Pasuk Pshat is more like Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim in the stencil in Daf Ayin Hay says something I think is obvious for. I thought it was a Pashat for, and then I found it with Reb Chaim, and I was very happy. The Mishnah says on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis the problem of Ksiva b'mechuber. Okay, that has to do with our sugya, also the Keren Shel Parah, etc. Problem of Ksiva b'mechuber. What's the problem of Ksiva b'mechuber? The Gemara explains there a little earlier in a few places that you need v'kasav and nasan. You need to have v'kasav and nasan. It can't be something that needs a third stage in between. It has to be something that just needs v'kasav and nasan. It can't be something that needs v'kasav, v'katzatz v'nasan. You can't need another stage. It's called mechusar k'tzitza. You can't need another stage in k'siva nasina. Okay, this has to do with what we quoted earlier from the Rav, the rule of k'siva saget. K'siva saget is not just stam preparing a material, preparing a prop. But the kasav and nasan means the ksiva is perhaps already the beginning of the gerushin, right? The ksiva is part of the ma'aseh gerushin. The ksiva has to be a ksiva she'omid l'nasina, a ksiva haru'uya l'nasina. You have to write something that's then ready to be given. If it's physically not ready to be given, let's say you write it on a tree, but you have to chop down the tree before you give it because you can't give a tree, it's attached to the ground. Then it's no good because the ksiva is not ready for Nesina. You need something else between the Ksiva and the Nesina. Okay, says Reb Chaim, that's a physical thing. What if you need not a physical action, but a legal action between Ksiva and Nesina? Let's say this Reb Chaim, of course, L'shitasa works fine. Nesina means it has to belong to the husband. B'shas Nesina has to belong to the husband. But if it belongs to someone else, B'shas Ksiva, then it's Mechusar Kinyan being Ksiva and Nesina. Right? The ksiva is not ready for nesina. It needs a kinyan in between ksiva and nesina, and that's absurd. Just like it's possible if you need to cut it between ksiva and nesina, it's possible if you need to transfer ownership between ksiva and nesina. That's how Reb Chaim explains this din that you need of the rush that you need bagilos baal b'shas ksiva. And I think that would work very, very well in our sugya. The kasav, especially in the lashon, the girsan b'basra b'kasav and nasan. But you need to write it in a way that it's not mechus or anything else. You need to write in a way that it's ready for his nesina. And here, it's written in a way it's ready for her to be nosing, but not for him to be nosing, because he doesn't own it. Okay, so that is a third way. Basically, we've seen three ways of reading what this beginning of the discussion of Rav Chista is. Ilema, what does he say? My time, Ilema, Mishunde, Chsiv, the Kasav, or Iki Kasav, it's Kasav, and she's doing it instead of him. One way is the Pashav Shad in the Gor and the Mesivos is talking about the Maisek Siva. He's supposed to do the Maisek Siva, and instead she's doing it. And then we explain why the money makes a difference. Second way is Tosfos. It's about who owns it, Bashas Nesina, and it's about the Nesina. He has to do a Nesina, and if she owns it, it's not a Nesina. And then we have two different ways of explaining that. The third way, inspired by all the Rishoni Ashkenaz, who focus, I mean, half of them focus, but not fundamentally. And the Rush and their Sefer Truma seem to focus fundamentally. That there's a we care who owns it b'shas k'siva. It's a problem because we need the husband to own it b'shas k'siva. And if she pays the money, then she owns it b'shas k'siva because she bought it with her money. We just asked why do we care who owns it b'shas k'siva? So one pshat Beis Yosef is the derech is to write with your own materials. So the husband needs to write with his own materials, and that would maybe even also explain komas. Second pshat me'iri because of a nasan, sort of a hekesh. You need to write with something you could give away. Could also explain the komas. Everything you write with, you need to be able to give away. Or I thought the most pasha way was Reb Chaim, and that would only work for the klaf and the dyo, not for the quill. The klaf and the dyo need to belong to the husband and not the wife. Bishas ksiva. Why? Because otherwise mechusar bin ksiva, mechusar kinyan bin ksiva l'nesina, and that is a problem just like mechusar ktsitsa bin ksiva l'nesina. Okay. So that's the basic three ways of understanding what's going on here with Rav Chista. Maybe in the next year we will summarize this and see some of the nafkaminas for the later sugyas. But let's just briefly point out that the Ramban, the Ritva, and the Ran here have a technical question on all the Rishoni Ashkenaz, right? They start making fun of them. The Ramban calls them nakdonim, like, you know, people who are nitpicky, nitpickers. Why? Because all the Rishoni Ashkenaz and the Tosfos Rid say the sofer has to hand over, he has to physically take in his hand the klaf and the dyo and everything and put it in the baal's hand before he writes. Hold on a second. Then what makes the baal own everything? The fact the sofer put in his hand and did a kinyan mefurish with him. Hold on, but in our sugya it says what makes the husband own everything? The fact that midrabban and hefker bezin hefker, they transferred ownership of the money. And that's what makes the husband own everything. So hold on a second. Say the Ramban, Ritva, and the Ran. This is a proof that it's not the normal minhag for the sofer to hand everything to the husband. If the sofer handed it to the husband, it would belong to the husband. They wouldn't have to make a takana. And if they make a takana, then the money belongs to the husband, and the sofer doesn't have to hand him anything. Okay, so that's their disproof. They say it's a cute idea. You can do it if you want. But it's not necessary whatsoever, and obviously they didn't do it in the time of the Gemara, otherwise the Rabban wouldn't have had to make this takana. Once the Rabban made the takana, there's no reason for it whatsoever. The question is, how do you defend the Rishoni Ashkenaz and our minhag of Gittin against the attack of the Rabban, the Ritva, and the Ran? So here, I could think of three answers. One is based on the Nesivas. Remember how the Nesivas read our Gemara. The Nesivas said, our Gemara is not about ownership at all. Our Gemara is about who's doing the Maisek Siva, who's responsible for the Maisek Siva of the Sofer. Our Gemara is not discussing who owns things at all. If our Gemara is not discussing who owns things at all, then you understand the Rishon Ashkenaz. Our Gemara is discussing the Kasav, who does the Maisek Siva. Who owns anything? That's not the topic of our Gemara. The husband has to own it. Okay, that's solved by the sofer giving them as a kinyan mefurish. Why doesn't the fact that the money belongs to the baal, al pi hefker bezin hefker, also solve the problem of ownership? They'll say because money's not konam metaltalin. Only meshicha is konam metaltalin. So he has to do a meshicha. That's one answer. Second answer is based on the ritva. The Ran is mesupik about this ritva. The Ritva is bothered by the same thing. money is not kone metaltalin. The Ramban seems to assume the money is kone metaltalin. And the Ran, as Mesopek, says maybe the money is kone metaltalin. Why midrabanan? And the truth is, the way most Shonen Paskin, midoraisa money is kone metaltalin. It's only midrabanan that it's not. So over here, they just didn't make their takana, the Roman, that it's not, and they let money be kone metaltalin. But the Ritva says, and the Ran is Mesopek between the Ritva and the Ramban here, the Ritva says no. The Ritva says, of course, money's not kone metaltalin. So how do we solve the problem of bailus? How does this money solve the bailus problem? So the Ritva says, no, you have to understand. He wasn't talking about every get. He was talking about the normal 99% of getting. In those days, Sofrim didn't have an inventory of cloth. It's not like nowadays the Sofer owns a lot of cloth. No, in those days, Sofer were very poor. They didn't own anything, right? Even nowadays, sometimes you hire a workman who's very poor, and he says, give me money in advance because I need to buy the materials. He can't afford to lay out money for the materials. He doesn't have a stock and inventory in his in his truck or in his or in his shed. Right? Sofer were very poor. I think Rashi and Vayichi says that Sofer are very poor. So Sofer in the days of Chazal were very poor. They didn't have any money to spare. So how did they get cloth? When you paid them in advance, they took the money and went and bought cloth. So the Ritva says, that's how it solves, that's how in our sugya, this takana drabanan solves the problem of bailus. Once the money is the husband's and not the wife's, now he's going to the store and buying cloth with the husband's money. If he goes and buys cloth with the husband's money, he picks up the cloth, does meshicha, and he's zocha in the cloth on behalf of the husband. So now the cloth belongs to the husband, but the Ritva says, let's say it was a rich sofer who carried an inventory. Let's say the sofer had his own cloth. Then that wouldn't solve the problem. Then the cloth would not belong to the husband, because even if the money belongs to the husband, mos einon konos metaltalin. Money is not kone metaltalin. There's no kinyan kesef by metaltalin. So according to the Ritva, now we understand the Rishon Ashkenaz and our minig and gittin. In those days, 99% of sofrim were poor and didn't have their own inventory of cloth. Nowadays, 99% of sofrim are, I mean, only rich, they're not Bill Gates, but they're rich enough to have a stack of cloth. They have invested, you know, $100 in a stack of cloth in their office. They have an inventory. So in the old days, sofer didn't need to hand it over to the husband, because he took the money, which was the husband's money now, Alpi Hefker Bezen Hefker, and went to the store and bought with the husband's money, and was magbi on behalf of the husband. But nowadays, when our sofrim have inventories, then they have, how do you make it owned by the husband? That's why they have to give it explicitly into the hands of the husband. So based on the Ritva, we can also defend the Ashkenazic Seder Haget. There's a third way to defend it as well. The third way is based on the Rashba later on. Our time is up now, but maybe we will. Maybe we will mention this again in Chazard a little more lengthily when we get to that Gemara. But the Rashba says in the Gemara later on, Gemara says, if a woman owned a parchment and now the husband has a get on it and gives it to her, is that okay or not? Did she know to give it to him as a matana gemura? So Tosis and everyone asks, isn't it takana drabanan that they transfer it to the husband? So many of you shown like Tosis and the Ramban and others answer, no, the takana drabanan was by the money, not by the parchment, by the money of the sofer, not by a parchment to the wife's. Only if she starts out with money, not if she starts out with parchment. But the Rashba, he has three opinions there, and his last opinion says, no, it's actually a machlokes. It's a machlokes how we solve the problem, how we get it into the bailus of the husband. Rava and Daf Chafam and Aleph says, Dilma, maybe they made a hefker bezin hefker. But that's only a maybe. That doesn't mean that's how we paskin. That's only a maybe. Usually when people say Dilma, we paskin that way until proven otherwise. But here it's proven otherwise. Because that's on Chafam and Aleph. But on Daf Chafam and Beis, we say no. The reason it's the husband is because they know they have to do a kinyan and give it to the husband. Just like the wife knows she has to do a kinyan and give it to the husband, the sofer knows he has to do a kinyan and give it to the husband. So he says the machlokes. Rava says, b'derech dilma, the Rabbanan made a takana to give the bailus to the husband. But in Daf Chafam, Beis and Chafalfam and Aleph, we decide that there's no such takana to Rabbanan. It's just that people know to give it to the husband. Then all the Ashkenazic minhag of Seder again makes sense. We don't pass like Rava. That was only a dilma. We pass in that you have to explicitly give it to the husband, and people know they're supposed to do it. And that's why the sofer has to explicitly give it to the husband. Okay, so we have three ways of defending the Rishonei Ashkenaz and the Minig of Seder Aget against the Kasha, the Ramban, Rit from the Ran. They asked if the Ramban made a takana to give it to the husband, then why did the sofer have to give it to the husband explicitly? Answer one, their takana was for whose co-save had nothing to do with who owns the Heftza. Answer two, their takana was if the sofer hasn't yet bought the cloth. Then he buys it for the husband, but if he already owns the cloth, since mos in konos b'metaltalin, the husband has to explicitly pick up the cloth to be kone.
And the answer three is the Rashba. We don't pass like our Gemara. That's just a Dilma. It's a cute idea. It's a suggestion. But we paskin that the Rabbanan never made a Hefker Bezen Hefker, and therefore the husband has to explicitly be Kona the get. Okay, we'll delve into this Machlokas, Sos, and Reb Chaim, and some of the other sugyas that tie into it a little more in the next year, Meretz Hashem.